All right, hey, if we have not met before, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I'm so glad that you made the choice to be here with us this weekend at Hideaway. We call this event, this retreat, Hideaway for a specific purpose. We do it in the fall semester, right near the beginning of school, because there's so much going on. There's classes, there's sports, there's relationships, there's homecoming, there's all the busyness of life that can just weigh you down. When you think of all the things that you have going on or the challenges, the struggles in your life, you can go, man, this is a lot. And so we specifically and strategically create this opportunity for you to hide away just for a weekend from all of the issues, the challenges that you might be experiencing. So here's how we're going to start tonight. I want you, everyone look up here. I want you to take a couple of deep breaths, okay? So do this. Okay, that was one, Let's do a second one. There you go. Awesome. Hey, this weekend, we're going to be spending a lot of time reflecting on the promise in the future that awaits every single one of us that has placed our faith and trust in Jesus. And we're going to look at how this promise of the future impacts and influences how we view our pain, how we walk through the challenges of life today. And so this weekend, our theme will be All Things New. And it's an amazing promise that we'll spend a lot of time tonight in particular on, and we'll revisit over the course of this weekend, that one day, every hurt, every pain, all the shame, all the brokenness, the difficulties, the challenges that you're experiencing and will experience in your life, it'll be made new. Not just fixed, not just made a little bit better, but brand new. And so we're going to spend this weekend just reflecting on and thinking about that idea, okay? So you should have your Bible, so grab it. You should have your journal, or you should have one of these booklets from one of your small group leaders. I encourage you to take notes during this message and all throughout the weekend, maybe even in your own personal time with the Lord, as we reflect on the promise that one day all things will be new. All right, so here's how we're going to start. Let's see. This past spring break, my family and I, we were going to go on a vacation out of the state of Texas, but we decided we were going to stay here. We were going to do what we called and began a tradition called our family week of fun. So think of an entire week during spring break where we decided to do some fun things here in Dallas. And so we went to, of course, the best hot chicken restaurants all over Dallas during the week. I think we have a picture of us at Palmer's Hot Chicken. If you've never tried it, it's amazing. We went to Fort Worth, and we spent a day at a hotel. We went to an amazing coffee shop. We went to the Dallas Farmers Market. We did all of the Dallas-y things. We went to the mall. We went to the Arboretum, and we even just hung out at home, me, my wife, and my son, just relaxing, just getting to enjoy a week of just slowness, nothing on the calendar, just hanging, okay? And most of this week was planned by my wife. Like, when it comes to our trips and our vacations, she comes up with all the ideas, and I'm just like, sweet, I'm in. This is incredible. So one day during this family week of fun, she had this idea that we would go to Fort Worth and go to this place called Magnolia Avenue. And so this is how she described it to me. She described it like the HGTV TV shows where everything is like white and beautiful and there's light and the grass is pristine and there's families walking around and everyone just has a smile on their face and there's cute boutique shops and there's amazing restaurants for you to go to. She's like, this street in Fort Worth, Texas is incredible. It's going to be so fun when we get there. And I'm like, I'm hype. I'm like, let's go. This is a great addition to the family week of fun. And then we get there to Fort Worth, to Magnolia Avenue, and this picture is a nice picture of what it was. I mean, I kid you not, it was just a regular road.
And in my mind, I'm like, oh man, my wife, she like planned this and she was really excited about this. This was supposed to be so fun. So I'm like, wow, like look at these restaurants, you know. But in my mind, I'm like, bruh, what are we doing? We drove 45 minutes to just walk down a street I could walk down in Richardson, Texas. It was so average. And the reason I tell you that is because in my mind, I had built up this expectation of what it was going to be like, this amazing place in Fort Worth. And in reality, it was just a regular, normal road. But don't worry, she had a redemption road. Afterwards, the next day, we were going to Waco, Texas, and we were going to the Magnolia Silos. Now, I'd been there maybe 3 years ago, and so I remembered it being kind of nice, you know, pretty, beautiful, everything that you can imagine. And so we road trip down, and when I got there, I had this expectation that it was going to be decent, right? But when I got there, it blew everything I expected out of the water. They had built more buildings. There was more shiplap. There was more perfectly manicured lawns. There was more amazing restaurants. It was beautiful. It was an amazing time to hang with my wife, hang with my son. It exceeded my expectations, right? I had a certain expectation, and reality was even greater, even better than what I thought it was. And as I reflected on this family week of fun and those situations in which I had a certain expectation of what a day was going to be like and what reality was, I thought about us. And I thought about how we think about heaven. Most of us have a certain expectation in our minds of what heaven's going to be like, right? Like even right now, just think about it. If you envision yourself in heaven, what do you think of? What are you doing? And most often, it's a picture, if you will, of us just kind of hanging out on clouds and singing worship songs for all of eternity, right? That's usually what we think of when we think of heaven. In fact, I have a quote that I'll throw up on the screen and read for you from this guy named John Eldridge in his book, The Journey of Desire. And he says this, "Nearly every Christian I've spoken with has some idea that eternity is an unending church service. We've settled on an image of the never-ending sing-along in the sky, one great hymn after another, forever and ever, amen. And our heart sinks. Forever and ever? That's it? That's the good news? And then we sigh and feel guilty that we are not more spiritual. We lose heart and we turn once more to the present to find what life we can." And so in other words, a lot of us, when we think of the promised future to come, it doesn't sound that promising. It doesn't sound that exciting. It doesn't sound like something that you want to anticipate and are excited to experience. And so we turn to our lives today to find the excitement, the joy, the meaning, the satisfaction, because honestly, we don't think heaven's that great. And unfortunately, when we do that, when we make those choices, we bring more hurt, more pain, more shame, and more difficulty in our lives as we search for something that only eternity can bring. So, what if we have the wrong picture of the future that awaits us? What if that picture of us sitting on a cloud with a harp, singing forever and ever, amen, isn't what heaven's like? What if it's something different? What if we could reframe our expectation and line it up more with what is really going to happen? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to spend the next few moments doing. We're going to look at a picture of the promise that awaits us as believers, a picture of the promise that awaits us. Okay, and so I'm going to invite you to grab your Bible and turn all the way to the back of your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to read through five verses and just look at what picture we get of what heaven is like so that we can line up our expectation of heaven with the reality of what it is, okay? So turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 21, and we'll observe verses 1 through 5. We'll read each verse, and we'll make a couple observations after each. Revelation chapter 21.
21. So here's what verse 1 says. And if you don't know the context of the book of Revelation, this is written by one of Jesus' disciples, John, the Apostle John. And he is like the elder statesman of the early church, if you will. And he is exiled on this island called Patmos, which is a real place today. And he is getting these visions of what heaven is going to be like and how the end of this age as we know it will come about. And so he shares this with the Christians in the early church and with us, teenagers and adults in 2022. He says this in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And so he's saying, everything that we know on this earth and as we look to the heavens, to the skies, it's going to be no more one day. God is going to make it brand new. He's not just going to update it. He's not just going to fix a few things about it. He's not just going to give it a new operating system, if you will. He's going to make all things new. It's not just the next edition of the iPhone. It's brand new. It's completely different. It's better. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And then there's an interesting phrase in there. It says, and there is no more sea. And some of you guys, I'm sure you love the ocean, and you're like, why is there no more sea? I'd love for the ocean to be there in heaven. And who knows, maybe it will be or maybe it won't. But what they're specifically talking about here in the Jewish tradition or in the tradition of the day, when you thought of the sea, you thought of evil, you thought of the opponents of God, you thought of brokenness. And so when you see in verse 1 that there is no more sea, what he's saying is that there's no more evil. There's no more challengers or opponents to the God of the universe. When he makes all things new, there will be no more sin, no more wickedness in our world. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I don't know if you know this, but if you're a female in the room and you have a small group leader that's married, ask them how long it took them to get ready on their wedding day. Let me tell you what happens. The dude's like, let me even use this example. In June, I officiated the wedding of a friend of mine. Her name is Becca, and her husband now, his name is Ezra. And the Friday night after the rehearsal dinner, we were talking about what the guys were going to do the next day and what the girls were going to do. And the guys were like, oh, yeah, we're going to play video games. We're going to go play golf. We're going to go watch a movie. I mean, they named so many things. I was like, I don't think you're going to make it to the wedding venue on time. That's what the dudes were going to do. And then when we asked the girls what they were going to do, they were like, we're going to get ready. We were like, what are you going to do? Just get ready. For hours upon hours on end, every one of your small group leaders that are married, girls, if the Lord so blesses you with marriage in the future, you're probably going to do the exact same thing. And I love that that's the imagery that John uses here in verse 2. He's like, hey, as long as a bride takes all these hours and hours to prepare herself for that moment where she's walking down the aisle in some amazing way, the God who created the universe, who spoke it into existence over the course of a few days, has been preparing this new Jerusalem, this new city that we're all going to enjoy, those who are followers of his, in eternity. He's been preparing it for thousands upon thousands of years. Imagine how amazing, how beautiful, how majestic that must be. Like a bride adorned for her husband. Think of, for a second, the most beautiful places that you've seen in the world. You know, there's on the screen, there'll be some pictures of some of the most beautiful, oceans and mountains and scenic views on the screen. And I just wanted you to have this image in your mind that there are some amazing
and beautiful places that you've been to, maybe that you've seen, that you want to go to, and that in some way, this new heaven, this new earth, this new Jerusalem, if you will, coming down from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, is going to be better. It's going to be more beautiful, more awe-inspiring, more amazing than any of those beautiful imagery that we can imagine. Verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." And so there's this picture of heaven, this picture of the future promise where the God, the sovereign, holy, righteous, powerful, majestic, creator of the universe is going to be hanging out with us, walking around with us, fellowshipping with us. That's amazing to think of. And that reality, in a lot of ways, hasn't been experienced since the beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, right after Adam and Eve had disobeyed God's instruction, we're told that God came down and was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I love that verse because that verse is sharing with us that before there was sin, before there was wickedness, before there was separation from God, God would come down and go on walks with Adam and Eve. Think about that. How many of you guys like going on walks? Yeah? Yeah, we got lots of people. Yeah. When it's beautiful, especially now that it's turned into fall-ish, you can go on some walks and it's going to be amazing in Texas. Like, think about that. Going on a walk with God. Like, in some way, we're going to get to experience that when all things are new. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. I just love that comforting thought, that whatever you're going through right now, whatever you might be experiencing, whatever the challenges in your life, that one day all things will be new, and there will be no more insecurity. There'll be no more mental health challenges. There'll be no more divorce. There'll be no more wheelchairs. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more jealousy. There'll be no more heartbreak. There'll be no more arguments. There'll be no more loneliness. There'll be no more loss of life. There'll be no more miscarriages. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more crying. And I could go on and on about the brokenness that maybe you walked into this room having experience. And I have amazing news for you. One day, all things will be new. And whatever is not right, whatever is broken, whatever is sad, will be no more. Because everything will be made new. Verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." I love that image, that Jesus, he's sitting on the throne with the new heaven and the new earth, and everything that is broken and sad and sinful and painful is wiped away. And he makes this declaration, "Hey, I am making all things new." It's a promise for the future, and it's a promise for right now. That wherever you are and whatever you're going through, the God of the universe, the God of heaven, loves you. And even though it might not feel like it, he is making all things new in your life. What an incredible promise. What an incredible idea to think about. And so as we close, I'm going to read you a quote from a book called Heaven by a guy, a pastor, an author called Randy Alcorn. And if you've ever wondered about heaven, or if you've ever thought, man, I would love to know a little bit more about what heaven's going to be like, he expands so much on Revelation chapter 21.
And I'm going to read this quote, and then I'll give you an exercise, and then we'll worship. The quote is this: in order to get a picture of heaven, you don't need to look up at the clouds. You simply need to look around you and imagine what all this would be like without sin and death and suffering and corruption. I love that idea. He's like, you know what heaven is? It's everything that God created that he created perfectly and good without all the sin that has marred it, that has broken it, that has damaged it. That is what heaven is. This earth and the heavens made new. And so here's the exercise. It's going to feel weird, but I want to challenge you to stick with it, okay? So I'm going to invite you, I'm going to read a quote that just paints a picture of heaven from that same book, from Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. So I want to invite you to close your eyes. Maybe take one more of those deep breaths that we did at the beginning. Ready? Okay. Close your eyes and just listen to these words, this description of heaven, and then we'll pray and we'll sing. Imagine this world, all of it, in its original condition. In this new world, animals aren't dangerous. Flowers don't die. Skies aren't polluted. People are never angry, depressed, or empty. And no one dies. There's no fear of death or disease. Now think about the most beautiful place you've ever been. Is it a beach, a snow-capped mountain, a waterfall, a river, a lake? Maybe it's a glacier. Go to that place, the most beautiful place in your mind. And now that you're there, think of a family member or a friend who has died. Someone who knew Jesus and will be with him for eternity. Imagine you're back together in this perfect place. Imagine that you're also together with all of your Christian family members and friends. They're all there. You're all healthy, energetic, and strong. And as you take in the breathtaking beauty of God's creation, you enjoy fellowship free from any insecurity or drama. You laugh, and you play, and you share stories and memories of God's goodness during your time on earth. As you look back on your lives, you're able to see the many ways God worked everything together for good. You are thanked over and over and celebrated for the things you did to love and care for others. You have a totally new perspective on life. Yet you're still curious about some things. You still have some questions. Thankfully, someone is approaching who has answers. It's Jesus. He has a big smile on his face. And you all fall to your knees in worship. And one by one, he pulls you up and embraces you. At last, you're with the person you were made for, in the place you were made to be. Jesus answers your questions and begins to tell you about new people you need to meet and some incredible places you must explore and discover. But first, he has something planned for you. It's a feast. That's right. God is throwing a huge party, and you're invited. I just love that picture. And the summary of it for you as we get ready to sing a couple songs that take our minds and our hearts to a place where we're considering and imagining the beauty and glory of heaven is this: that as your delight for heaven increases, your desire for this world decreases.
as your desire for heaven and to be with Jesus and to be where there's no more sickness, no more pain, where all things are new, as your desire for that grows, your delight in this world decreases. Your desire to run after comfort and status and lust and fitting in and partying and drugs or achievement or control, all of those things fade into the distance in the light of the glory and beauty of heaven, where all things are new. It's not somewhere up there in the sky. It's here. This earth, made new, made better, made perfect, made holy, made good. What an incredible thought to think about. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing a couple songs, one that you're more familiar with and one that our worship team has written for us as we think about and consider the beauty and the joy that awaits us in the future. God, we love you. And we're so grateful for this opportunity this weekend to just slow down, to rest, and to incline our hearts to you. And I pray that you'd use this weekend to be the turning point in a student's faith. I pray that you'd use this weekend to bring comfort, to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring encouragement, to bring joy, to bring perspective into the lives of these students and whatever they might be going through. God, as we gaze upon you, we gaze upon the beauty and the glory of heaven. May we be so amazed. May our desire for heaven increase and our delight in this world decrease in the light of your glory and your grace. We love you. In Jesus' name.